So we've been talking about the Trinity, how God is one God in essence, but God is three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. These three persons are equally God. The Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God. And last time we spoke about the deity of Jesus Christ, how Jesus is God, and we saw how Jesus is called God and Lord and Creator of all things and eternal. But we don't often talk about the Holy Spirit and the deity of the Holy Spirit, but we're going to do that today. Some people, when they talk about the Holy Spirit, they often call him the shy member of the Trinity. Why do they do that? I'll tell you. Because in John chapter 15, before Jesus is killed, before he leaves, he says, I'm going to go, but he says, when the Spirit comes, he will come and he won't testify about himself. He will testify of me. All right? And so people point out that, you know, when Jesus was here, he is always drawing attention to himself. I am the light of the world. I am the bread of life. Come to me, all you who are weary and heaven laden, and I will give you rest. All the miracles that he does, all the teaching that Jesus does, is to draw people to himself. But the Spirit doesn't come and say, come to me, come to me. The Spirit draws our attention to Christ. It testifies of Christ. It leads people to believe in Jesus. And so some people have said, well, the Holy Spirit doesn't talk much about himself, and so they call him the shy member of the Trinity. Now, that's not 100% true. There is some truth to that, but it's not 100% true, because it's not like the Holy Spirit is hiding himself or anything like that. The Bible has a lot to say about the Holy Spirit. In fact, since the Holy Spirit inspired the Bible, everything you read about the Holy Spirit in the Bible, it's him talking about himself. So there's plenty about the Holy Spirit. So we're going to be talking about the deity of the Holy Spirit, but the first thing that we're going to do is we're going to talk about the personality or personhood of the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? We're going to talk about the fact first that the Holy Spirit is a person. When I say person, I don't mean human being. When I say person, I mean someone who has a personality. Like the Father is a person. He has a personality. Who is a person? A person is someone who has intelligence, who thinks, who has a will, who speaks, who loves, who hates, who likes, who dislikes, who has a mind, an intelligence. Okay? So as the Father is a person, the Father is not a human being. Never became a human being. Only the Son became a human being. But the Father is a person. He has a personality. The Son is a person. The Holy Spirit is also a person. Why do I point this out? Why do we have to talk about this first? Because there are some who deny the fact that the Holy Spirit is a person. Who do you think does that? Jehovah's Witnesses. Again. Okay? Jehovah's Witnesses, and there's others, of course, but Jehovah's Witnesses, they don't only deny the deity of the Holy Spirit, but they also deny that he's even a person. They say that the Holy Spirit is simply the power of God, the energy of God. Like, for example, the wind that blows. The wind, if it's strong, it can knock you over. It moves things, okay? There's energy there. There's strength there. But it's not a person. They'll look at the waves that come and move boats and waves that crash against the land. And they'll say, well, see, there's power there, there's energy there, there's a force there, but it's not a person. The waves are not a person. Electricity, the touch of electricity, it'll shock you, okay? There's power there, but it's not a person. And so they say the Holy Spirit is just the power of God, the energy of God. Which is not true, because the Holy Spirit is a person. As the Son is a person, the Father is a person, the Holy Spirit is also a person. So let's look at a few verses. Let's go to the Gospel of John in chapter 16. This is on the night that the Lord Jesus was betrayed. He is speaking to his disciples. Okay? And he's saying, I'm going to leave, but I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. He's going to come in my place. So look at verse 12. John chapter 16, starting in verse 12. He says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. Now, a few things here. In Greek, all things, all nouns, are either masculine, feminine, or neuter. Okay, what do I mean by that? For example, the chair in Greek is feminine, η καρέκλα. You talk about her when you're speaking about a chair. Okay? The wall is ο τείχος. It's masculine. You talk about him when you're talking about the wall. Okay? The floor is neuter, το πάτωμα. You talk about it when you're talking about the floor. All right? So everything is either male, female, or neutral. Okay? And it's just the language, just how we speak in Greek. Well, the word spirit in Greek is neuter. It's to pneuma. So you would think that when Jesus would talk about the spirit, he should, if he wants to be grammatically correct, he should say it when he's talking about the spirit. Okay? But what does he do here? Jesus purposefully violates grammar and says when he, the spirit, comes. He will testify of me. He will guide you. He will do these things. Why does he do that? He could have just said, it will teach you. It will guide you when it comes. But he doesn't do that. He says, when he comes. Because he's trying to point out something. He's violating the grammar on purpose to point out that we're talking about a person. And what is he going to do? He's going to teach you things. He will speak to you. He will tell you things. Things that are to come. He will glorify me and so forth. Okay? Because he's a person. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, you don't have to go there. I'm going to give you a bunch of verses. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, the Apostle Paul is talking about some prophecy that the Holy Spirit has given him. And he said, the Holy Spirit speaks expressly. The Holy Spirit has spoken very clearly on this matter. So the Holy Spirit has spoken to Paul and has told him something very specific. In Luke chapter 12, Jesus is sending out his disciples, and he's talking about when he's going to send them out, and there's going to be people who are going to persecute them. And he says they're going to take you to their synagogues, and they're going to take you before rulers, and all these things. And he says, but don't worry about what you're going to say when that happens, because the Holy Spirit will teach you what you should say. These are not things that just happen on there. Someone is going to speak. Someone is going to talk. Okay? He teaches. He speaks. Let me show you a couple more verses. Go to Acts chapter 10. Even though we call this book the Acts of the Apostles, there are some people who like calling this book the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Because it starts with Pentecost, with the coming of the Holy Spirit, and then it's the Holy Spirit working in his church as he spreads the gospel throughout the world. Now, in Acts chapter 10, it's the passage where the apostle Peter has had this vision of these unclean animals, and Jesus has told him to eat these animals. And then there are these men from Cornelius who come to find Peter because they want Peter to go give them the gospel. Okay, so look at verse 19 of Acts chapter 10, verse 19. While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Electricity cannot say, Peter, I've sent some people, I would like you to go with them. Okay? The law of gravity cannot say, Peter, I've sent you some men, I would like you to go with them. Don't worry, it's fine. Okay? This is a person who is speaking to Peter. Okay? And that's the Holy Spirit. It says it's the Holy Spirit. Okay? Jump to Acts 13. Just 13, 1-3. Go to the next page. Acts 13. It's talking about the church in Antioch in Syria. Look at verse 1. It says, "Now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers." Who were they? Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manan, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Okay? Verse 2. "And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, 'Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.'" Okay? So you have like four or five preachers and prophets in that church, and the Holy Spirit wants two of them, Saul and Barnabas, to go on a mission. And so the Holy Spirit says to the church, "Okay, separate these two guys for a work that I have for them." Okay? What's my point? My point again is that it's a person who is speaking to the church. Okay? A wave doesn't say, "Church, I would like you to get these two men by name and have them go on this work." Okay? A few chapters before this, Philip is in the wilderness, and there's the chariot of the Ethiopian eunuch that's going by, and the Spirit says to them, "Go after that chariot. Go run after that chariot because you need to talk to that guy." "Okay, I'm going." An impersonal force doesn't do this. A person does this and speaks. Okay? Because the Holy Spirit is a person. And we could look at so many verses that indicate the personal properties. For example, we don't have to go to these. Let me just give you some quickly. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it's talking about how, you know, you don't know what's in my heart and what's in my mind, what I'm thinking right now, but I know what's going on inside. And it says, likewise, the Holy Spirit knows all the things of God. The Holy Spirit knows the mind of God. Well, how can, if he's not a person, how does he have that intelligence to know the mind of God? All right? In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it's talking about spiritual gifts. Okay? And it says, all these things, all the different spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit gives, are given by the same Spirit that divides to each person as he wills. Okay? That's 1 Corinthians 12. So, it's saying that all the spiritual gifts that Christians have, how do we have them? Because the Holy Spirit decides and chooses, okay, I'm going to give this gift to that person, I'm going to give this gift to that person. He chooses, he decides, okay? These are things that a person does. Making decisions, having a will, okay? Let me give you a couple more. Ephesians chapter 4. We read, you don't have to go there right now. I mean, you can if you want to, but it's Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Paul is giving instructions to the church, and he says, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit." Okay? Don't make the Holy Spirit sad, basically. Okay? Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. That sentence really makes no sense if we're talking about someone who's not a person. I can't make electricity sad. I can't make the wind sad and grieve it. No matter what I do, the wind won't care. Okay? In Hebrews chapter 10, it says there are people who, by denying the blood of Jesus Christ, are insulting the Holy Spirit. How do you insult someone who's not a person? I could go to the waves crashing up against the rocks and start yelling at them and swearing at them. They are not going to get insulted. Okay? Only a person who has a mind, who has a will, who has feelings, can be insulted. Okay? So we could go on and on and on and on. The point is, the Holy Spirit is not just an impersonal force. He is a spirit. That's why he is a person. That's why we speak of the Holy Spirit as him, not just it. Okay? So, Jesus, who was a person, no one denies that. Jesus was a person. Before leaving to go back to heaven, said, "I'm going to leave, but I'm going to send someone else in my place." Okay? So if Jesus is a person, you would think that the one who's going to replace him would also be a person. And not only that, if Jesus is God, or since Jesus is God, you would think that who can replace God? but God. So Holy Spirit is the replacement of Jesus. Jesus leaves, the Holy Spirit comes, and he is a person, and he is also God. So let's look at some passages now that talk about the deity of the Holy Spirit. Now, really quick. Ordinarily, just so that you know, this will help you when you're reading the New Testament. Ordinarily, most of the times, the vast majority of times, the New Testament, when it talks about the Father, it calls him God. When it talks about Jesus, it calls him Lord. When it talks about the Spirit, it calls him the Spirit. All right? The Father, in general, is called God. Sometimes he can be called Lord, but usually not. He's called God. Jesus is called Lord. Sometimes he's called God, but most of the time he's called Lord. And the Spirit, most of the time, is just called the Spirit. And we have rare occasions where the Spirit is called God, and rare occasions where the Spirit is called Lord. But in general, he's just called the Spirit. So we don't have a ton of those passages, but let's look at a few. Since we're in the book of Acts, go to Acts chapter 5. The story in Acts chapter 5 is in the early church, there were some people who, in order to help other believers, would go and they would sell property. And they would take the money and give it to the church so that everyone had to eat, everyone was comfortable. And so there's this couple, Ananias and Sapphira, who say, oh, we're going to do that too. So they sell some property that they have, and then they see that they actually got a lot of money. And they're like, oh, I don't really want to give all this to the church. I want to keep some. And they could. Of course they could. It was their money. If they wanted to, they could keep all of it. But if they wanted, they could keep all of it. If they wanted, they could give some of it. They could do whatever they want. It was their money. But they wanted to pretend that they were super holy. And so they go and they give some to the church. And they say, this is all of the money that we got from the property. This is all of it. Okay? Because they wanted to show that they were super spiritual, giving everything away when they weren't. And so this is what happens. Verse 3. Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? Which, by the way, also indicates that he's a person, because you don't lie to impersonal forces. Okay. Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. So Peter says, you have lied to the Holy Spirit. Why did you do that? You haven't lied to men, but to God. Well, who did he lie to? Did he lie to the Holy Spirit or did he lie to God? Both, because the Holy Spirit is God. Okay? In 1 Corinthians, how often we are told that believers are the temple of God. Okay? He says, you are the temple of God. Okay? And then he says, why? Because the Holy Spirit dwells in you. Okay? All believers, when you believe in Christ, the Holy Spirit is sealed inside of you. But he says, you're the temple. He doesn't say you're the temple of the Holy Spirit. He says you're the temple of God because the Holy Spirit is in you. Which means what? That the Holy Spirit is God who's inside of you. Okay? In the Old Testament, when the prophets spoke, what did they say? They said, thus says the Lord. And they would speak the words that the Lord, Yahweh, would give them. Well, when we get to the New Testament, Peter tells us in 2 Peter chapter 1, he says, when the prophets spoke, they spoke by who? The Holy Spirit. Well, who was it? Was it Yahweh who spoke through the prophets, or was it the Holy Spirit who spoke through the prophets? Both, because the Holy Spirit is God. In Isaiah chapter 6, Yahweh, the Lord, speaks to the prophet Isaiah, and he says, prophesy these words, go tell the people this. And so he gives him a prophecy to speak. And then in Acts chapter 28, the apostle Paul wants to quote that prophecy by Isaiah that the Lord gave him. And Paul says, the Holy Spirit spoke through Isaiah saying this. So if you read Isaiah 6, it's the Lord who gives the prophecy. Paul says it was the Holy Spirit who gave the prophecy. The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is identified as Yahweh. The Holy Spirit is called God. He is identified as Yahweh. In 2 Corinthians 3, the Holy Spirit is called the Lord. It says the Spirit is the Lord. And there are so many things that are said about the Holy Spirit that can only be said of God. And I'll give you some examples. In Hebrews chapter 9, the Holy Spirit is called eternal. He is the eternal Spirit. So he's always existed and always will. He's eternal. Only God is eternal. In Psalm 139, the psalmist says, "Where can I flee? Where can I go hide from your Spirit? If I go up to heaven, you're there. If I go down to hell, you're there. If I go into the depths of the sea, you're there. Everywhere I go, if I lie down, if I stand up, your Spirit is there." Which means that the Holy Spirit is everywhere. Well, only God is everywhere. So the Holy Spirit is God. In John chapter 3, when Nicodemus comes and speaks to Jesus, and Jesus says you have to be born again, and you have to be born of the Spirit. And Nicodemus says, "How's that going to happen? How does that work?" And Jesus says, "Well, he says it's like the wind. You know, the wind just comes, and you don't know where it's coming from, and you don't know where it goes. Well, it's kind of like that. We don't know. You don't know how the Spirit works. The Spirit comes, and he gives life to whoever he wants to give life to." Okay? But just think about that sentence, okay? The Spirit comes as he wills, to whom he wills, and gives life to whom he wills. Gives a new birth to whom he wills. You can't say that about anyone other than God. But Jesus says the Holy Spirit does that. The passage that we looked at before, in Acts 13, when the Holy Spirit speaks to the church in Antioch, and he says, "Separate unto me Saul and Barnabas for the work that I have." Okay? Who is saying those words, really? Separate for me, for who? For the work that I have. Whose work is this? It's the work of God. And God is choosing who is going to go on the mission for his work. The Holy Spirit is God. In Genesis chapter 1, God created the heavens and the earth. And then it says that the Spirit of God was hovering above the waters. So the Spirit of God is there while the world is being created. Job, in Job chapter 33, he says, "The Spirit of God made me." So, just as we read that Jesus is the creator of all things, and the Father is the creator of all things, we see that the Spirit is also there creating. Who is the creator of all things? God. So the Spirit is God. And we can go on and on and on. Let's look at one final passage and we'll close. Matthew chapter 28. This is right before Jesus ascended to heaven. He is speaking to his disciples. You all know the passage very well. In verse 18, he says, "And Jesus came and spoke to them," that's the disciples, "saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." What's he doing here? He is saying, go make disciples and baptize them in the name of God. That's what he's doing. He's saying, baptize people in the name of God. Think about this. Since the Father is God and the Son is God, it would make absolutely no sense to include the Holy Spirit if the Holy Spirit were not God. Imagine him saying, baptize the name of God the Father and God the Son and some impersonal force. No. He's not saying, go baptize in the name of Yahweh, in the name of a great creature that Yahweh made, and the power of God. No. He's saying, baptize in the name of God, and the name of our God, because our God is triune, is the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. People say, the Trinity is not in the Bible. Yes, it is. Right there.